Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Robert Siegel, and this is On Point. That was Burt Parks, who serenaded Miss Americas for 25 years with that signature song. Burt Parks is no longer with us, and neither apparently is the nearly 100-year-old pageant that he knew. This year's rebrand dumps the string bikini and stilettos parade, as well as the evening gown number. It's a competition, organizers say, not a beauty pageant. One in which the contestants will no longer be judged on their looks. World peace indeed. This hour, On Point, Miss America 2.0.
With so many beauties, she took the town by storm with her.
You can join us on air or online. Are you a beauty pageant or beauty competition junkie? Why do you tune in? The beauty, the brains, the talent, what's the draw for you? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. And joining me now via Skype from New York is Jessica Bennett, the gender editor of the New York Times. I mean, she covers women, gender, society, and her story on Tuesday had the headline, Goodbye Swimsuit Competition, Hello Miss America 2.0. Now, you can link to that at our website, onpointradio.org. Jessica, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, what are the changes to the Miss America pageant or competition, whatever?
Well, the major change is that there will no longer be a swimsuit competition. And of course, Miss America began as a swimsuit competition, so this is a big change. And the other major change is that in the evening gown portion, what was traditionally the evening gown portion, contestants will be able to now wear whatever they want, allegedly. So we'll see how that turns out. And the major thing is that the new chair of the Miss America organization's board, Gretchen Carlson, who you may recognize from her former post at Fox News, has said that this is not a pageant. This is a, quote, competition. So it sort of reminds you of that Miss Congeniality sketch where they keep repeating in the film, this is a scholarship competition, mm-hmm. not a pageant. Mm-hmm.
And there are scholarships that are given out through the Miss America
competition. Yes, there are scholarships given out. It's one of the largest scholarship programs, in fact, in the United States, and they gave out more than $2 million last year.
We'll hear from Gretchen Carlson in a couple of minutes, but why would you say these changes were made now?
Well, I think it's a number of things. You know, in 2018, I think even before Me Too, it felt a little bit antiquated and retro to be judging women for scholarships while having them walk across the stage in bikinis. Now, of course, many would argue that this should be a woman's choice. She can wear whatever she wants, and I do agree, but to require it, I think, felt a bit antiquated in this day and age. Of course, now, you know, 6 months after allegations against Harvey Weinstein and Bill O'Reilly at Fox News, where Gretchen Carlson formerly worked, have ignited this movement, I think that, you know, now is the time. Now is the time to make changes. And I think these are changes that have been long overdue.
Has the need for changes been reflected in the ratings? How does the Miss America pageant show fare on television these days?
You know, they've been losing viewers for a long time. You know, I was interviewing women who protested the pageant 50 years ago. And back then, it was like the Oscars is the way that they described it. You know, this was on the front of TV Guide every year. People tuned in. I think something like 3 in 4 American households watched. And that's just not the reality anymore. So one could argue that this is, you know, making an effort to get with the times, but who knows what it has to do with trying to increase viewership as well.
Let's hear from Nicole, who's calling from Tampa, Florida. Nicole, you're on the air.
Hi, Robert.
Hi.
Hi. So I'm calling because I actually am a pageant competitor myself. I've not been able to compete in Miss America, but in light of these changes, I am so for them. I think that it's a great shift to really push stepping away from the swimsuit. I will say, though, I have competed in a swimsuit before, and it's incredibly empowering to fully stand in your body at the shape that it is. And I also want to emphasize that it was never really about looks. I feel like it's always about fitness. And I feel like with the dismiss of the swimsuit, we should still keep fitness. And I also love the message of them increasing, being more inclusive. But Miss America still has an age limit where you can only be up to 25 to compete. And so many women like myself have been barred from being able to even have a chance at obtaining scholarships because we're 25 and over. Other systems, they are at 29. And, you know, I think that's also antiquated because women are staying in school longer, going back for their master's, their PhDs, their JDs, and they're getting married much later in life. So I honestly feel that to really bring it to this 2.0, to fit the mold of what we are today in society, then they should really look at all portions of their rules.
Well, thanks. And I want to ask Jessica, I think you've heard this argument made that the swimsuit competition is about fitness, is about looking fit. I assume you've heard that one before.
I have, yes.
Does it wash? I mean, is it what women, you know, see?
It's complicated. I've heard from many former contestants and former winners of Miss America who said, in fact, yes, I felt incredibly empowered walking across that stage. Like, if you can walk across that stage in high heels and a bikini, then what can't you do? But by the same token, if this is really about fitness, what can a panel of judges really term about your fitness from watching you walk across the stage for 20 seconds or so? And to the point of inclusion, you know, we don't see a lot of diversity in Miss America, certainly not diversity of body types. There, for a long time, were, in fact, rules that barred people who were not white from competing. There was not an African American winner of the competition until the 1980s. So I do really agree with this point that inclusivity perhaps needs to be more broad.
Yeah. It's going to be an odd thing this year, if I understand your reporting, which is that the national competition, Miss America Night, will have these new rules, but the various state pageants that the contestants are winning in order to get to Atlantic City will likely be using traditional rules. So to me, it's a little like the college basketball season playing by usual rules. Then you come get to the Final Four, suddenly dunking isn't allowed anymore. You know, it's a
change. Right, exactly. The contestants almost have to be more versatile because the change was announced at the national level just this week. And the national competition is in September, but many of the local competitions, which feed into the national, have already started their processes. And so people have already competed. And so they will not change their rules until after this year.
Jessica Bennett, stay with us. I want to bring another voice into this conversation. Joining us from New York is Gretchen Carlson, now the chair of the board of the Miss America organization. As we heard, she used to be on Fox News Channel. She famously filed a lawsuit against Roger Ailes, the chairman and CEO of Fox, for sexual harassment. That was settled in 2016, and she wrote the book Be Fierce, Stop Harassment, and Take Your Power Back. And her connection with the Miss America organization goes back to 1989.
Sarasat's Zagunar Bison, a violin performance by Gretchen Elizabeth Carlson, Miss Minnesota.
That was Gretchen Carlson on violin, and she went on to win. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you for showcasing the talent portion of this competition. It's the most important, one of the most important parts, so thank you.
I have to observe, by the way, something I've long felt, that the Miss America talent competition is the one night out of the year when network television observes that people play classical music in the United States, and this is part of their lives.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Yes, as somebody who spent her entire childhood practicing many hours a day, never dreaming that I would end up using my violin talent to try and win the Miss America pageant. Thank you for showcasing that.
Why eliminate the swimsuit competition?
Well, we are moving our organization forward to relevancy in 2018 and beyond. We'll celebrate 100 years in just 3 years' time. And, you know, Miss America has always embodied the cultural way in which women are seen in society. You know, for example, many people don't know that when this organization started in 1921, it was actually incredibly brave and bold for those contestants to be out on the boardwalk in Atlantic City in bathing suits, because back then women were not in bathing suits in public.
Right.
So that in and of itself was a bold move, and now we fast forward to 2018 where we are ironically eliminating the swimsuit, and it's also a bold and brave move. But moreover,
well, is it a bold and brave move to step? I mean, what's so bold and brave about? I understand taking out the swimsuit competition, but what's comparable to that boldness back in the 20s?
Well, the idea that they had the courage and the bravery to compete and put themselves out there in something that women were not doing at that time.
Right. No, I understand that boldness, that, as you said, but I mean, what's bold? What'll be bold today about the new Miss America 2.0?
Well, the boldness will be is that we're showcasing more substance of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the attention that this has received over the last couple of days. It's been fascinating to me to see the fallout and in some cases slight blowback to this decision, because for decades this organization has been criticized for supposedly objectifying women by having a swimsuit competition. Now this board unanimously decides to move in a new direction and really showcase the substance and smarts and talent and intellect of these competitors.
Yeah.
And then some people turn around and say, well, wait a minute, we kind of liked the swimsuit competition.
Right.
So, you know, whenever you make a big decision, I'm certainly well aware of the fact that you're going to have people of differing opinions, and I welcome all of those differing opinions. And we're doing our best to make sure that everyone in the organization is kept comfortable and happy. But we feel that this is the right move to make as a board and as an organization to showcase the substance.
We're discussing the changes afoot at the Miss America pageant. You can join the conversation. What do you make of the swimsuit competition getting the boot? Is it high time for that change? Or was it the whole point of tuning in to the spectacle of Miss America? I'm Robert Siegel, and this is On Point.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
What does it take to start something from nothing? And what does it take to actually build it? I'm Guy Raz. Every week on How I Built This, I speak with founders behind some of the most inspiring companies in the world. Find it on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Robert Siegel, and there's some more iconic theme music from the Miss America pageant, which is now getting a modern makeover. You can join the conversation. Do you think a beauty pageant can survive in the Me Too era? Follow us on Twitter and find us at Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm talking with Jessica Bennett, the gender editor of the New York Times, and also right now with Gretchen Carlson, a former Fox host and current chair of the board of the Miss America organization. And Miss America, 1989, yes? Was the correct year?
Correct. Forever ago, yes.
I keep on saying pageant all the time. You don't want us to say pageant anymore.
Oh, right. And also you said beauty pageant, which we would have always said that we've never categorized ourselves as that either. What sets us apart from other so-called pageants is that we do have a talent category, and we hand out millions of dollars in scholarships to young women every single year. So we are actually a nonprofit organization, mm-hmm. which also makes us different from, say, for example, Miss USA. And you know, the swimsuit competition for us, really, that is not the reason that people, I don't think, predominantly would watch our competition. And in fact, it was not the most highly rated portion of our competition. Actually, talent was.
Mm.
So, you know, we feel that in this Me Too era, and arguably an era that I helped to kick off,
mm-hmm.
that we want to once and for all showcase the whole individual and not focus on or judging their physical beauty. Not that we don't want to say that you can't be beautiful in the Me Too era. Of course you can. And we would like to advocate healthy lifestyle and fitness. We're just not going to judge on it.
Just so to be clear, though, since you raised your role in the Me Too era, you're calling out, being a very important figure in calling out what Roger Ailes has done at Fox. There is a connection. There is a connection between the Me Too moment and the changes in the Miss America pageant. I mean, there's some causality there. Do I have that right?
Well, I think the main causality would be the fact that I'm involved in both.
Yes, and that nails it.
That's the irony here. In both situations, I didn't ask to be part of them. I don't think anyone wakes up in the morning and says they want to be the poster child for sexual harassment in the workplace.
No.
But I took on that challenge and made the biggest decision of my life. Similarly, when the similar situation happened within the Miss America organization, it was never on my radar screen to be the chairperson of the Miss America Board of Trustees. But, you know, yes, the causality and the connection was that I was involved in both.
You said that the swimsuit competition was never the most highly rated, that the talent was more highly rated than that on television. I want you to answer what the feminist writer and activist Gloria Steinem said several years ago about the swimsuit competition in the 2002 documentary Miss America.
The swimsuit competition is probably the most honest part of the competition because it really is about bodies. It is about looking at women as objects. That's what it's about. The fact is that the most disqualifying part of the competition is how you look.
What do you think?
That's why we're not doing it anymore.
But was she right in 2002 when she made those comments?
Well, I might have added that it also takes a tremendous amount of discipline to get yourself in shape to walk in front of millions of people in a swimsuit. I mean, I should know personally, since I'm only 5'3" and I've struggled with my weight my whole life, and I had to kill myself to be able to get into the right shape, which is exactly why we are making this change, because we are not allowing maybe thousands, maybe more women to compete in this system simply because they're not a perfect 10. And that, to me, is not correct anymore in 2018. Why wouldn't we allow a size 10 woman to be able to come into our program and show us how smart they are and show us their talent and tell us about their goals and their achievements in life and what kind of leader they want to be in this world? And, oh, by the way, at the end we're going to hand you thousands of dollars of scholarships to go to college.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we're talking about, and I think we're getting mired down in this small discussion about whether or not this was the right decision. I think if you go out and really talk about the Me Too movement, this is for sure the right decision.
I want to turn to the phones and to Lee, who's calling from Buffalo, New York. Lee?
Hi, Robert.
Hi.
I want to say I think that the competition is going in a great direction. I love the way that it is more focused on values, integrity, talent, communication skills. I think that's going to make these ladies even better role models for our children these days. I also think that the swimsuit competition, it was time. I think that it's going to promote more of an inclusion of women with more body shapes and sizes, so I think that's a good thing. Although I have to confess, as a fashionista, my favorite part was the gown, so I will miss that. That
was
the entertainment part for me.
We're still doing it. We're still doing it. I want to make sure.
Oh, you are.
There's been a lot of erroneous.
Oh.
Yeah, there's been, thank you so much for the call. There's been a lot of erroneous reporting, which I guess sometimes happens with big announcements like this, but for sure we're keeping the evening attire. So here's the only difference. You're going to be, as a candidate, you're going to be able to choose what kind of evening attire you want to wear that makes you feel most self-confident. So that, I hope it's still a glamorous evening gown, or it might be a glamorous cocktail dress, or it might be a fancy pantsuit, but it has to stay within evening attire, but it's your choice. And you're going to be able to show your self-confidence and your sass and your own personal style. But here's the thing. We're not going to judge you on how perfect you look in that gown. We're going to judge you on what you say during that phase of the competition. But we want to see your self-confidence and your sass. So I'm so glad you asked that question, because there's been tremendous confusion over this, and we are not taking away the glamorous part of this organization.
Sass is a key word that you return to very often.
Yeah.
Here. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Jennifer, maybe Jennifer is calling about sass. She's in Providence, Rhode Island. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Robert, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
I do agree with the sass part. As a former competitor in the Miss America and Miss USA, both systems, I obviously wore a swimsuit. I fared very well, did win some scholarship money. But I was always a collegiate athlete, so I was always very athletic. So for me, I always felt as a competitor that the swimsuit didn't really judge the physical fitness of a contestant, which I think is part of a well-rounded human being, male or female, is physically taking care of yourself. So I think there's other ways to exemplify the physical part of it. Swimsuit probably wasn't the right direction to go. It's how it started. It's how it originated. But I think maybe turning it into something along the lines that shows that, you might naturally be thin, but you might naturally be...
We're losing... Jennifer there a bit, but I think Gretchen Carlson, you heard her comments.
Well, yeah, and I think what she's saying is that, listen, she was an athlete, and so she may have had an athletic body, which, by the way, isn't always a size zero.
Yeah.
So, it's not like we're stopping to advocate healthy lifestyle and fitness. Listen, you have to be fit to do this job. You're traveling 30,000 miles a month. But we just want the focus to be more on what's inside this person's head and what their goals and achievements are in life, and to give the viewing audience the chance to see that. So when we replace swimsuit with some sort of an interactive session with the judges, you're actually going to get to know these candidates and see where they've gone to school and how smart they are and what they want to be in life. And to me, gosh, I'd much rather compete in that system than having to walk around in a bikini in high heels.
Is it a challenge to Miss America that in this day and age, there are quite a few programs where women and men also come on stage and they show some talent and they exchange conversations with judges about what they do. And those are reality competition shows. It's a staple nowadays of network programming. Does it diminish the uniqueness, the once uniqueness of the Miss America competition?
I doubt it. All those shows are thriving, right? American Idol, The Voice, Dancing with the Stars, ostensibly reality. Listen, Miss America is...
But does that diminish what's different and what's special about what you're doing in September?
No, because we're giving out scholarships, and I don't think there's a program out there right now that singularly focuses on the empowerment of women in a reality show, right?
This is true. Not one that I watch anyway, so...
I hope you'll watch ours because it'll be September 9th on ABC.
Okay, well, with that promo, Gretchen Carlson, thank you very much for talking with us today.
It's sure, Robert. Thank you so much for having me.
Gretchen Carlson, who was Miss America 1989, you may remember her from Fox, and you may remember her from successfully suing there, is the chair of the Miss America organization, and she's the one who announced all these changes. Jessica Bennett of the New York Times has been covering all this. This is what you've heard. I assume that what Gretchen Carlson has described is just what you're reporting on.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things happening here. I think that in this age, in this Me Too era, we're seeing ripple effects that go beyond just things like sexual harassment in the workplace. We're seeing this not just with something like the Miss America pageant, we're seeing it with NFL cheerleaders. The same debate is happening there about pay and about the way that they look, what they have to wear, what they have to go through. Is that objectifying for women? And so I think these are broader conversations that we're seeing happening in a lot of places. I also think it's interesting to note that Miss America as an organization was not exempt from Me Too. The former chairman and CEO was forced to resign over lewd emails about contestants. And so Gretchen Carlson took over in the wake of that. And she is part of an entirely new leadership team that is primarily women. So they all took over in, I think, January. And so it's interesting as well to note that these decisions, these new decisions and large decisions, are being made primarily by women.
Well, joining me now from Cleveland, Ohio, is Afia Afori-Mensah, who is Assistant Dean in the College of Arts and Sciences at Oberlin College, where she's also an Assistant Professor of Comparative American Studies and Africana Studies. She teaches a hugely popular course called How to Win a Beauty Pageant. Professor Afori-Mensah, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Hi, Robert.
You're going to rename your course, How to Win a Female Empowerment Competition instead of a beauty pageant?
I think the course name plays well, so I'm going to hold on to that.
What has been your reaction to these changes that have been announced?
Well, the first thing that happened is that I read about it, and I think my initial reaction was, what? Because, as Jessica said earlier on, the swimsuit is how this competition began in 1921. It was a bather's review. It was started out as a newspaper competition where newspapers could use the new popularity of the Kodak camera to get photographs of young women who would then win the newspaper competition and win with it an all expenses paid trip to Atlantic City where they could participate in the bather's review.
But before we get carried away with the all expenses paid trip, a photo that I saw from the early 20s showed on the sashes Miss Philadelphia and Miss Camden. Those aren't, that's not a real long haul to the Jersey Shore from those places.
Right. Most of the contestants were from up and down the East Coast.
Up and down the East Coast, yeah. After you got over your shock at these changes, do you feel that they're positive, that it's robbing you of pleasure you've had over the years? What would you say?
I think that what I wonder the most is what will happen to the organization in this era. I think that already the conversation has raised some really good questions about how this will play on television. Mm-hmm. And that was my initial thought. Will they still be able to maintain their viability as a television show? And I stopped myself for a moment when I thought that, because I thought, am I saying that the swimsuit is what most people have been watching for? And I don't think that's actually the case. But I do think that the swimsuit is what makes people think of it as a pageant. And the reason that many people watch it is because we have certain associations. The pageant is a special event that comes on TV once a year. It's been broadcast since the 50s. Back in that time, Miss America, like Jessica said, was a really big deal for television viewing audiences, like the Oscars or the Super Bowl. It was a big event. So since we have those longstanding associations, once you take the swimsuit away and people are not associating this competition with pageantry in the same way, I wonder if the popularity of it on television, which again, as Jessica mentioned, has been waning since the early 1960s, whether that will continue.
Of course, some would say television has been waning in recent years, but let's turn to a caller. Artis is calling from Delafield, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi, Robert. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I find this very interesting and hopeful. I have never been a watcher of any beauty pageants, but I would be more likely to watch or even encourage my daughters to watch. However, I do want to point out that there seems to be just kind of a large group who, when you get all these, news feeds about body shamers and what people have done, you know there's going to be some blowback and nasty comments from some of these people saying we're glorifying obesity. However, that is not the case, and I can tell you that, I have a daughter who is very athletic, under 5 feet and about 125 pounds. Now, these fat shamers would call her fat. However, no pediatrician or doctor would ever consider her overweight, and I think this is an important step to include just real people and real, bodies. It's just a step. Yeah. We're going to have to take.
Let me put your concern to Jessica Bennett of the New York Times. I mean, just how much variety do you expect to see at the Miss America pageant in September in terms of body shape, let's say?
Well, I think that's the big question, right? There is no doubt that what we have seen in the past is a very homogenous group of people traditionally. And what we know is that the local competitions actually haven't changed the guidelines yet. And those local competitions feed into the national competition. So on September 9th, are we suddenly going to see a rainbow of body types? I'm not entirely convinced of that, but maybe hopefully down the line.
Down the line, a fear for immense, do you expect to see great variety down the line, or will we still see the predominantly tall, slim, model-looking people?
I think this will be the real test of whether it is the case that they will not be judging on appearance any longer. I think, you know, as the Gloria Steinem clip pointed out, that is the – it's not a spoken rule that you have to look a certain way, but it is one of the largest disqualifying criteria for the pageant. So, you know, that'll be the real test. Will we see folks who are fat or who have visible disabilities or who are gender non-binary? That will really show us whether this has changed.
We're hearing about the modernization of the Miss America pageant, or competition, as they'd like to call it. You can join the conversation. In 2018, does the idea of awarding scholarships to women based on their looks, or for that matter, their talents, make you squirm, or is it good fun? I'm Robert Siegel, and this is On Point.
Ever get to Friday, look back on the week, and say to yourself, what just happened? I'm Sam Sanders. Check out my podcast, It's Been a Minute, where every Friday we catch up on the news and the culture of the week and try to make sense of it all. Listen on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcast.
This is On Point. I'm Robert Siegel, and we're talking about bringing the Miss America pageant into an era of female empowerment and gender equality. You can join the conversation. What do you make of the move? How do you think the organization's current, mostly female leadership can shake things up? What are your hopes for the beauty pageant? Follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm talking to Jessica Bennett, the gender editor at the New York Times, and Afia Euphoria Mensa, who teaches a course at Oberlin College called How to Win a Beauty Pageant. Let's talk for a moment about if the swimsuit competition is going to be taken away and there'll be more questions from judges of the competitors. Do you think, let's start with Jessica, that we have some common sense of what the best kind of answers are that we'd hear from a Miss America, the best personality to emerge? Is that, you know, do we know that better than who's most best looking?
I get, yes, though hopefully we'll hear a bit more than, you know, the world peace response. I too want world peace, but we'll have to see on that point.
And Afia Euphoria Mensa, what do you think? Oh, we have a problem with our line to Cleveland. We've lost it. So instead, we're going to go to, well, you mentioned world peace. This was such a cliche of Miss America questions to the finalists that it made it into the movie Miss Congeniality, in which Sandra Bullock played an FBI agent who goes undercover as a contestant to prevent a bombing event. The finalists are asked about, you know, what change they would most like to see, and she's the last one to answer. Here are all four of them, though, five of them.
I would have to say world peace. Definitely world peace.
That's easy. World peace.
World peace.
What is the one most important thing our society needs?
That would be harsher punishment for parole violators, Stan. And world peace.
A great joke, which raises a question. And Afia, I'll ask you, I mean, do we hold out hopes for that group interview or that set of questions with the contestants to be enlightening or insightful?
I think, you know, you have a variety of women who participate in the competition, and they do. Part of the work of being in a pageant is to spend a good deal of time studying up on things that are happening. People receive a good deal of coaching in some cases on how to respond. So I think personality-wise, really, they're looking for many of the same kinds of things that we look for when it comes to women in the workplace and in other realms. They want someone who is confident. I would say that's the word that has come up the most in my study of pageantry. They want someone who seems fun. There are certain norms of femininity that they are looking for in the pageant that are really the same kinds of norms of femininity by which women are judged in other areas of life.
Let's hear from our listeners. Tico in Leesville, South Carolina, is on the line. Tico, you're on the air.
Hey, Robert. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Listen, I love Gretchen Carlson. She's one of the few people on Fox News that I used to love watching her show. But I must admit, if they take the swimsuit contest away, I think it's personally, I think it's going to ruin the contest.
Ruin the contest.
And yes, sir. I just wanted to plant that seed.
Well, I want to ask Jessica Bennett something. Tico is a man. Do we know, is the audience for Miss America? Does it skew female, or are men tuning in droves to see the swimsuit competition?
I actually don't know. Mm-hmm. I do know that there are a lot of men who are very upset about this on Twitter, and for a very long time, and I'm not sure how it will be today.
But when are there a lot of men upset about something on Twitter? Anyway, go ahead, yes.
Yes, exactly. Well, true that. But I think that for a long time, these were all women contestants, and they were all male judges. So another thing I'm really interested to see is, does the judging panel change? Because there's just something inherently that rubs me the wrong way about women being judged on their bodies or even just on their intellect by an all-male panel.
Amy is calling from Montgomery, Alabama. Amy, you're on point.
Yes. I've had sister, a niece, a friend who grew up in a children's home in Mississippi all compete in the Miss America pageant. A lot of the critics really have never participated or had any close connection with the pageant. All of those I know have worked hard to work their talent, to present themselves confidently. And if my sister and niece and this other gal who my friend who grew up in the children's home actually placed third in the national competition probably 30, 40 years ago. These have been wonderful opportunities for them. It's really easy to judge from the outside, having not participated in them, by just a few blurbs on TV or judging according to one's own idea of what the pageant should be. Mm-hmm. When their judgment just really isn't pertinent to what's going on because they aren't in leadership. I have watched the pageant for many years, and for many years there have been women on the judging panel in addition to men. So I'm not sure that comment that it's all men is necessarily the case. It has not been for many years. There have been many women.
It was at one time, I think, comment, yeah.
Well, like with anything else, there are always corrections to be made. We've seen in the media men fall. We've seen in NPR people have to resign for indiscretions. Mm-hmm. This is just the case of, you know, humanity on Earth. There are mistakes that are going to be made and corrections that need to be made. But all in all, the Miss America pageant has been a great opportunity for many, many women. And the scholarships have allowed for many of these gals to go on and go to college. My friend from the children's home who grew up, I mean, it would just made a life change for her.
Well, Amy, let me ask Afia about this, since you teach a course in how to win a beauty pageant, a name you're sticking with. this is an activity that some young women become involved in going to pageants. In some cases, very young girls get involved in going to pageants. Is it a thriving culture, a thriving activity for young women?
I would say not as much, perhaps, as in the past, but it's kind of a subculture as far as those who participate, and it's not a huge swath of the population. But I do think that if we take into account those who watch pageants and those who have opinions about pageants, that's just about everybody. And so even though participation may be a small culture, I think a lot of us have a lot of interest in this, just as the last couple of days have shown. And honestly, I think the main thing about pageantry that makes it interesting is that it is in some ways just a somewhat exaggerated version of the way that we treat women in our society anyway. So, you know, focus on appearance, judgment of bodies, those are a lot of the ways that women are treated throughout, you know, their everyday lives, and pageantry just puts that on display in a way that I think makes some people uncomfortable just because it's a bit more obvious than what we typically do.
But I wanted to turn back to Amy for a moment. When young women are engaged in these competitions and they're working hard, what does that mean? That means if their talent is performance, they work on their performance a great deal? Do they stay in shape? And what is the work that young women would put into this? Amy?
Oh, yes. Well, for example, we have a big problem in our country with obesity. So while many of the shapes may be the, you know, thinner, just trimmer, and that's the way that's been for years, and hopefully that will change a little bit, yet we don't want a culture where women and men are not being conscious of maintaining a healthy body weight, mm-hmm. maintaining strong muscle and skeletal posture. We want those things, and those things help people present themselves most confidently as well. Talent-wise, it's great for kids to be studying music or visual arts or dance and developing those skills. Those, again, give children confidence. I'm a teacher by background, an educator, and so much of what we do is to just try to help children develop those skills, to grow in confidence, mm-hmm. to have something to put themselves forward as they get older.
Amy, thank you very much for calling. And we're going to turn now to Nancy, who is calling from Danville, Kentucky. Nancy, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Robert. I was born in 1954, so I'm dating myself.
I think you're very young in that case.
So, well, I, at this point, would have been about 18 years old in 1972. And as a child, I can remember watching the Miss America pageants with my parents, and it was a big deal. I mean, a lot of people in the neighborhood were tuning in, and it was quite an evening. But at any rate, I have Native American ancestry, and I didn't see me on that stage. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anybody that vaguely looked like me on stage. I'd turn around and look at my dad, and he was sitting there with the same appearance as me.
Mm-hmm.
And so ultimately, I became a scientist. I grew up in the West and lived in a rural area. And, you know, Wounded Knee came in 1973,
mm-hmm.
That whole thing with the Native American issues and so forth. And I just turned a different corner and went a different direction. And I was very physically fit. I did outdoor scientific work for a number of years, 40-some years, and now I'm semi-retired. So you can believe I'm in pretty good physical condition still.
But as an adult, did you continue tuning in to the Miss America show once a year, or was that just from childhood?
It was childhood and then intermittently. Mm-hmm. I had graduate school that intervened in work and then a son and a husband and that sort of thing. But, you know, I just kept seeing these statuesque blonde women or light brown-haired, green-eyed women, or whatever, parading across the stage. And frankly, even as an adult, it kind of hurt.
Well,
you know, that just wasn't an option for somebody like me.
We are talking about changes to Miss America. Jessica Bennett of the New York Times, I mean, there have been notable changes. The women who compete are more, it's a more diverse group today than it was decades ago, isn't it?
I'm sure it is. But I think, you know, I really relate to this point. Like, there's this idea that you can't be what you can't see. And if you are seeing primarily white, able-bodied, very physically fit and thin people on stage who are probably also very talented and smart, what message does that send to young women, you know? So my hope is that when they say that the goal is to make the competition more inclusive, we see that in more ways than just body type.
And Afia Ofori-Mensa?
Yeah, this is one of the long-standing issues with the pageant. It's not been terribly racially inclusive. I will say, in response to Nancy's comment, there is, as far as I know, one woman, Norma Smallwood, in 1926, who had Cherokee ancestry. And since then, as far as I know, there's not been another Native woman who's won. In the history of the pageant with 91 Miss Americas, there have been 8 Black Miss Americas and 2 Miss Americas of Asian descent. So their record on racial diversity, even though we may be seeing a pageant with more women of color competing, we're not necessarily seeing a pageant with large numbers of women of color winning.
But all of those African-American or Asian women, women of color who won, those have all been in much more recent years. They would be a share of a much smaller subset in that case.
Yes, that's true. The pageant did operate from about the 30s to the 50s with a rule mm-hmm. that said in order for contestants to be eligible, they had to be in good health and of the white race. So there was explicit exclusion for some time, but it took 20 years after they did away with that rule before there was the first black contestant at the national pageant, and 10 more years after that before there was the first black finalist. And then, of course, it wasn't until Vanessa Williams in 1983 that a black woman won.
Jessica Bennett, I just have one question for you. I mean, do you think you're writing about an anachronism here? That is Miss America just something that's of another time, or given changes, given a smart woman like Gretchen Carlson in charge, does it have legs?
I think that's the big question. Can you take Miss America as a competition into the modern age, or should we just do away with it altogether? You know, it's a nonprofit. This is good scholarship money. This is important. But why does it need to be broadcast on our televisions? Mm-hmm. There are plenty of worthy people who are in need of scholarships. Couldn't this be donated in some other place? And so I think that's really at the heart of the debate. And there are a lot of people who think that while this is an important step forward, it actually doesn't go far enough.
And Ophia, in a nutshell, is there a future for this?
I think we'll see. I think, you know, for a long time, like Gretchen Carlson said, the Miss America pageant has insisted that it's not a beauty pageant. But I think many people still had thought of it that mm-hmm. way. And its primary competitor or competing system was the Miss USA or Miss Universe organization. Of course, they're not announcing a similar change. And so we'll see. Will those two continue to operate in the same realm? Will we see changes to Miss USA or Miss Universe, which has a much larger following outside the U.S.? Mm-hmm. Will this be the end of pageantry? Hmm. We'll see.
Ophia Ofori-Mensa, Assistant Dean and Assistant Professor at Oberlin College, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Robert.
And I should say that Ophia's course there is called How to Win a Beauty Pageant. Jessica Bennett, Gender Editor at The New York Times, thanks so much for talking with us this hour.
Thank you.
And, of course, you can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. And you can follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. On Point is produced by Ann Bauman, Brian Hardzinski, Eileen Amada, Stefano Katsonis, Alyssa Poli, Catherine Proctor, Jeremy Relosa, James Ross, Gretchen Voss, and Miriam Wasser, with help from Carolyn Anders. Our executive producer is Karen Schiffman. We're going out with this bit, Song of the Miss America Competitions. There She Is, a recorded version by Johnny Desmond. I haven't said that name in a long time, in 1955. I'm Robert Siegel. I'm going to go retire again. This is On Point.
I deal with so many beauties. She took the town by storm with her all-American face and form. And there she is, walking on air, she is, fairest of the fair.